that song says victory in Jesus. I want to be able to have that in my life. And the only way I'm going to have that victory is through him. We have over the past several weeks here talked about peace. Peace that's available for us, how we come about getting it. Some of the ways was, there's one verse that says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, but you're going to have your mind stayed on him. To be able to have peace in my life, I'm going to have to be able to redirect my thinking. What does it say? I'm going to have to bring into captivity some thoughts. Otherwise, I won't have the peace that I'd like to have. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And you know what? It's going to take some working for me to be able to do that in my mind. There's a lot of things that want to crowd in and distract me that causes my peace to be gone. You know what? We can listen to the news, and by the time I shut it back off, my peace is gone. But you know what? What's the song say? There's victory in Jesus. And he gives us some instruction for some areas in our life. If I want to be able to have peace, here's some ways to go about it. So today, I want to come down to where, you know, some people talk about, here's where the rubber meets the road. For me to have peace in my life, in relationships with other people. You know, if I were the only one on this earth, and I still had all the blessings around me of nature that he gives me, it just seems like I could have peace. Well, you know, I've got a mind that's going on. We can be the only person at home and seem like, well, that ought to be peace. There's no disturbances. Nobody's causing any problems here. But you know what? My mind can take off in some directions to where I still don't have peace. But what I want to talk to you today about is my relationship when I come in contact with other people. Whether it's long-term relationships like husband and wife, or whether it is when I go to the grocery store and somebody bumps into me with their shopping cart. Those quick little relationships, interactions, I want to be able to have peace. And I want that peace to be able to flow out to other people that are maybe don't have peace, and they would be able to see it in my life. So if I could put a title to this, it would be a fire extinguisher or gasoline when I come into a relationship that needs peace. Does my coming into that situation bring a calming effect, or does it add fuel to the fire? And you know, I could go down to maybe Mardell's and I could get me some books on relationships. But I really, to have true peace in times of relationships with other people, I need to go back to, who did they say his title was? He was the Prince of Peace. It said, Jesus, of his increase of his government and peace, there would be no end. So what that tells me is he's got a peace for me no matter what's happening around me. And so I want to be able to benefit by that. Here's a goal for me to attain to. It's in Proverbs 25 and 11. A word fitly spoken. You know, I could look back over my life, and after those words were said, I could realize, you know what? Those weren't fitly spoken. I had something to say, and it was not a benefit to other people. But here it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A word fitly spoken is a pleasant thing for others to behold. And I look at this, the right timing of my words. There's a place for it, and we're in a difficult time. There's fuel being added to fire by others, and I walk into the situation. Can I bring a calming effect, or do I add fuel to it? A word fitly spoken is real valuable. I want to go over to a scripture in Ephesians 4 and 29, because what is important for me today is the Word of God has a secret for me to be able to have peace in my relationships. 29th verse, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So I was looking at the commentary on this. Whatever has a tendency to injure the name or the fame or the interest of another person. You know, corrupt communication, we can talk about, well, it's cursing or whatever. But this one just comes down to what I have to say about other people, that it would not have a tendency to injure the name, the fame, or the interest of another. There is the opposite of the word fitly spoken, and it is strife. It could be just words. It doesn't have to be physical fighting. When strife starts to escalate, and I happen to be in the situation, do I come with a fire extinguisher or do I come with gasoline? I've had to look at this and say, Lord, help me. Because every one of us, we don't live on an island to ourselves. And I've got this strong desire. I want to have peace. The scripture says there's a peace that passes understanding. I can be in a situation where it seems like there's no peace around me. And there's peace that can be had. And I want to be able to have that. And a lot of this will happen where I am right now. I come into a situation and I have some words to say. Will those words soothe it or will those words agitate it? And Lord, help me to be able to be sensitive to the Lord speaking to me. This is what will help. This is what will not help. You know, it's not enough for me to, after I have said it, to realize, oops, you know, it would have been better if I would not have said that. But I'm asking, Lord, help me with this. As we're looking at interactions, just not just relationships for the next 60 years of a husband and wife living together, but just coming in contact with people. What happens with road rage? That's not two people that knew each other all their life and they're mad at each other. They've never met each other. But just all of a sudden, somebody happens to cut in a little too quick in front of you and something just blows up within them. Sometimes we read in the news where a life is lost from that. So I want to be able to have, I'm looking for this peace in my life. And you know what? This peace that I've got to have cannot depend on what the other person is doing. It's what do I do to the situation? And I say, Lord, help me. Then it goes on down in Ephesians 4 and 32. Gives us a little secret here. Be ye kind one to another. And it doesn't say if you've known them for 5 years, be kind to them. It is just an interaction. Let this be what flows from me. I think of that verse over in Proverbs. Who can find a virtuous woman? It said, out of her mouth comes the law of kindness. I think, you know what? That law of kindness that comes out is going to bring a soothing effect to situations. She knows when to speak, what to speak, at what time. And I want to be the same with this. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to look at some places in Proverbs 15, because you probably in your mind can think of some scriptures that would give us direction for this. Proverbs 15 and 1. And when I read this verse, I say, Lord, help me. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words will only stir up anger. This is the fire extinguisher or the gasoline. Grievous words will stir up anger. And then it comes down to relationships in 15 and the 16th verse. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. What if you could be a millionaire? You'd think, boy, I've got it. Everything is peaceful now. But this one says it's better to have just a little and have the fear of the Lord than great trouble, and there's strife and there's trouble within. And then it goes down, look at this one, 17th verse. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You know what? Those are things where It's not a peaceful situation. And I have gone before over to Germany and see some of the castles that they would have there. And I would think, you know, just way off looking at it, you would think, oh, that would be so great to have that back at that time. And then I walk through it and I have to think about, you know, Germany has some cold, cold weather in the wintertime. And that thing's nothing but a chunk of, not even concrete back then, maybe it was just hewn stone. And I think, what would it take to stay warm in this thing? You know, they're having to keep a fireplace going all the time for the king. We have, in the poorest of us in America, really lives better than the kings did back then for the conveniences that we have. But this verse is telling me, because right beside the castle, just a little ways away, I could see some peasant's home. And I would think about this. What if that family had peace in it and they just loved being together? You know, they're living better than a king would if he's got strife and everything going on. There were times that you would read about this king. He's always fearful of his life and he's always thinking about who's plotting against me or whatever. There can be a lot of strife there. And then I think about this poor little home down here. Doesn't look like much, but inside it is a lot of peace. And I'm thinking about for myself, Lord, I want to be able to have this peace reigning in me. To where when a time comes where a word is about to be spoken, Lord, may I be able to understand this. A soft answer is what will turn away wrath. Grievous words are going to stir up anger. And then this, in the same chapter, 23rd verse, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word that is spoken in due season, how good is it? For us to be able to come to a place, and I say, Lord, help me. Because, you know, when trouble comes, I can be quick to, I've got a thought about it. I've got what I think is the right thing. But Lord, help me to be able to be sensitive to the Lord's instruction for me. Want to be able to have that in my life. Have you ever heard this saying? I took the bull by the horns. And you know, if that happened in just real life, and it's a real bull, you're going to have to let go of the horns one of these times. The scripture gives us some instruction about that, because it also comes to me in real life, and it is found in Proverbs 26. Because when I read this, I thought back over my life, and I realized I've been in this place before. 26 and 17. I'm looking at places that, Lord, I want peace in my life. This is one of those places that my peace can be gone so quick by the words that I say in a relationship. Look at this one. Now, this one is not even a relationship. This is an interaction. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. And I have looked at my own life at situations where I stepped into something and said, I'm going to fix this problem. And now looking back, I realize, you know what I did was I took the dog by the ears. Does he get more satisfied with you the longer you hold him by the ears? No, it's just building up. You're going to get bit when you let go of him. And I realized, Lord, help me. I've done that same thing just thinking, you know what, I'm going to step into this situation. It's not even about me. It's about somebody else. But I'm going to help this situation. I know who's right and who's wrong. And I step in there and I come out wishing, I wish I had never gotten involved in this one. While I was studying this, I happened to look on the news for a little bit. And I saw a story that tells about this verse. In that story, it said there was a man that, I guess maybe his first day of school, and he had taken his little daughter to school and dropped her off. And he left there, and he was still real close to the school when he looked, and here is a husband and wife fighting out in the street. And they called this man a good Samaritan. He decides, you know what? I need to step into this and help this woman. So he steps in. Well, when he does, then he and the husband are fighting each other. And you know, I have heard this so many times. Be very careful about stepping into a situation where a husband and wife are fighting. Because here's what's going to happen. When you start fighting the husband, the wife turned on the Good Samaritan and was fighting him too. And to the point that the Good Samaritan broke loose from him and took off running away. And apparently something had been said that he would be shot. So he ran away. He was running away with his hands up when the man reached into his truck, got a shotgun, and shot him in the back and killed him. You know what? That's not isolated stories. That happens so many times. I read it so many times when we think about this, these little road rage incidents going down the road and somebody gets mad. You know what? It is so important for me to get down in my heart that a red flag can come up to me real quick and say, a soft answer will turn away wrath. Better humble yourself here because it can cost you your life. And I think about how that happened to him. Looking to help, and then it turns out different than that. I want to be able to have peace in my life. And to do that, I'm going to have to realize, you know what, a soft answer is what I'm going to have to be able to do. Whether it's in my home, in a relationship where we've been together for 50 years, or whether I'm at the grocery store and I just happen to come up on somebody and there's little trouble, and I can either soften it or I can throw gasoline on it. And I say, Lord, help me. Then over in Colossians, because I've been looking through scriptures, I say, you know, I don't want to have my own thoughts about how we're going to have peace, because I need the Lord's help for that. In Colossians, the 4th chapter, and in the 6th verse, 4 and 6, let your speech, does it say let your speech every once in a while be good that you would have this? No, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. A flavor that when your speech is given to somebody, that it would have a good flavor to it. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer to every man. In these relationships that we have, whether they're 1 minute relationships or whether they're lifetime relationships, there's scripture that gives us instruction. There's another one over in Romans. And in these I say, Lord, would you help me? In Romans, the 14th chapter, and in the 19th verse. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. You know, for me to do that, I've got to do something more than experiment. After I follow this, whoops, that did not make for peace right there. But I need to be able to know ahead of time before I start down this little path here that I would be able to look at those things that make for peace. Let us follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. You know, that's not just us in a congregation of people today. That's us in a home with our families. It's us going in the grocery store. It's us one time meeting with somebody at the gas station or out on the street. Let me follow after things that make for peace. And before I follow after things and experiment on whether this is going to make peace or not, Lord, help me to be able to learn ahead of time the things that will make for peace. You know, we can have interactions with people and come away, and if we would receive instruction, I would have to say, I don't want to try that anymore. That did not work. And it'd be a benefit to me in my life, in my dealings with others. So I look at the one. Here is one in Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot of instruction for us. Proverbs 26 and 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And I think about that when I step into a situation. Am I throwing more wood on it, or am I helping to put the fire out? Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. You know, all of these things are about my words that I say. And I say, Lord, help me in my dealings with others. A soft answer will turn away wrath. Grievous words will stir up anger. There is a verse, Matthew 5 and 9. Excuse me. There's a place that talks about blessings that can come. Matthew 5 and 9. Blessed, and can my name be put to this? Blessed are the peacemakers. When we go to a funeral, people will recount things through our life, trying to look for positive things that we can share with others. What if I could live my life that throughout it, people would be able to recognize he's a peacemaker? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I want to be able to learn how, by the Lord's help, to be a peacemaker. I want it to happen in my life. There's another one in Psalms 34. I find there's a lot of instruction for us in this area, and I want to learn from it. 34 and 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? You know, I think every one of us love life. We want to see good things in our life. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil. Do good. What is it? He that loves many days, wants to love many days, wants to see good. Here's some things. Depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace. Just those two words, if I just took it and said, you know what, this is going to be the motto for my life out in the future. And I have plenty of past to look at to receive instruction from. The motto I want for my life is I want to be recognized when I die. He was a person that sought peace, would like to be able to have peace. And you know what? This seeking peace has nothing to do with what the other party does. This has to do with what my desire is to have in a relationship, in a time where I have an interaction with somebody else. I want to be able to have those. I want to seek peace, and not just a little, well, every once in a while I kind of like to have peace, but it says seek peace and pursue it. I'm after this in my life. And I've lived long enough to say, you know what? I see some places that when I left a situation, it had not added peace to the situation. Well, you know what? The devil would like to come along in those places and he'd even tell us about it. Yeah, you remember that? That was you caused a lot of trouble in that area. But you know what we can do is say, yep, thank you so much. I sure thank the Lord for looking down in mercy on me and helping me to recognize it. Because you know what? I could walk away from that and say, you know what? I told them exactly what they needed to hear. And maybe it did not cause peace to be able to come. There are times when the Lord wants us to be able to say something. But I think he also wants us to be able to seek peace and pursue it. I want to be able to have that in my life. In the commentary about that, I said, here's what I'm seeking. Here's what I'm pursuing. I want to have a peaceful spirit, a calm, serene, and an equal temper of mind. If I were to be able to look at the peace level in my life and I could put it on a graph over the past week, the past month, would it have some spikes in it? Oh, this was really peaceful. Oh, this went below the line. This was a terrible time. And then if I could plot back and say, what was happening at that time? Oh, I had a lot of peace. Everybody's going out of the house. It was so peaceful. Oh, this one right here, everybody was back and there was a lot of agitation going on. Those kind of things will happen. But what the Lord wants to have is inside of me, there's a peace that flows out. I want to be able to have that. And I want to pursue it in my life. I want to be able to say, this is what I want to have. And thank you, Lord, for showing me the places in the past where it did not help the words I said. And help me to be able to do different in the future. We sing a song. Guide my words so that they would be spoken in such a kind and gentle way, that they may heal a heart that's broken, someone's darkness turned to day. There's a verse in 2 Timothy 2:24. Says a servant of the Lord must not strive. You know, sometimes we can say, but I'm right, and so I'm going to keep on until I prove it to everybody else. This one in 2:24. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Look what we should be. And I don't think this is just to the preacher. I think all of us are servants of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Must not strive, but be gentle to who? To those that agree with us? To those that are going along with us? No. Be gentle to all men, apt to teach and patient. May I be able to have these attributes in my own life. In Titus, the 3rd chapter, it gives us some instruction. Titus 3:2. Speak evil of no man. Be no brawler. You know, we could look around us in the world and see someone that we would attach the name of a brawler to. It just seems like when they come into a situation, they churn it up till it's about to burst into a flame, and then they get out of there and let it catch fire. I don't want to be that. Speak evil of no man. Be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men. Those that oppose me, those that get along with me, may I be able to do it. There is a verse that I want us to look at in Proverbs, because I've looked at this one. Proverbs 21:9. It is better, what does it say? Be no brawler. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, you know what? A man could say, yep, boy, it'd be tough to live in a house with a brawling woman. You know what? This thing can turn back and forth to either one of us. It could be the, what that was saying when I read the commentary is they had flat roofs that maybe they'd go out onto in the summertime. You weren't protected from the wind or the heat or anything. But sometimes it's better to be out there than it is to be in the house. Well, what it's saying is to the man that is in a house like that, he would rather be out there in the wind and the rain than to be inside where there's trouble. I want to tell you that thing works both ways. It could be the wife would say, boy, I'd rather be out there on the rooftop in the rain than to be in here with a brawling man. So what do we do about it? How do we take care of it? We say, Lord, I don't want to be that kind of person. You can help me to never have that kind of title. And if I have had that title in the past every once in a while, Lord, you can help me to learn how to be gentle. You can teach me how to seek peace and pursue it in my life. And what I need the Lord to help me with, because I have made decisions before that I look back on it and I said, you know what? I stepped in on a situation that I should have stayed out of, and it cost me. It cost me the peace. The very thing that I'd like to have happen in my life, peace was gone from that happened. And it was my own fault. So I look at this, at all that we've been looking at today, and I say, Lord, help me. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. It's a pleasant thing to people around me. A soft answer is going to be the only thing that turns away wrath. Grievous words will stir up anger. So I want to look at the contrast of someone. The contrast of saying, you know what, in my house I'd rather be out on the roof than all the trouble that's happening down inside it. What is this for a contrast? Look at Proverbs. This one is talking about another woman. Proverbs 31:10. It goes down, who can find a virtuous woman? The 10th verse. Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. You know, that sounds like a peaceful situation right there. And that's because of this virtuous woman. But it goes on down in the 25th verse. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth, and she does not get titled with as being a brawling woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And you know what? I don't think this thing, I used these same verses yesterday at Brother Ted's funeral. This doesn't have to be only to a woman. This can be to a virtuous man that says, you know what? I want to do it right. Because it goes on down, because every one of us will be laying in the casket one day with our family out in front of us. This woman, after she had was going through her life, it said in the 28th verse, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And I say, Lord, help me. Because as I was there at that funeral yesterday with Brother Ted's family, his family had so many things to say about how he had blessed them in their lives. And I say, Lord, help me. Because I will be there one day. You know, I don't want it to be just, okay, hope my children say something good about me. What I really want is my life to be able to have an effect on other people. Those that I work with. Tenants that I come in contact with. Well, I'll see them again maybe tomorrow, so I want to be careful. But what about somebody that I probably will never see again? I've mentioned this before. But I'm coming here to church, and I'm coming down Sooner Road, and I got a long stretch there. And there's somebody in front of me that's driving real, real slow. And I don't want to be late for service, so I zip around them. I'm heading for church. That's a good thing. You know how often you zip around somebody and you think, boy, I'm really saving time. And then they drive up behind you at the stoplight that you just got stopped at. You didn't save any time. You just got ahead of them is all. And then, you know what thought starts going through my mind? They're turning the same direction I am. What if they happen to be coming to service? I beat them a little bit. I got here in front of them. But Lord, help me, not just in those kind of things, but in every kind of thing. Lord, help me to be able to show out to other people. Because I have heard so many times, you know, in road rage, you think, I'll never see this person again. And that's probably what the two of them are thinking when things are going back and forth between them. And it escalates to the point that we hear in the news one of them lost their life. It may never reach that with us. But you know what I want to be able to have with my life? I don't want it to be, okay, I escaped that one with my life. Oh, no. What I want to do is come down closer to the point that people would be able to say, you know, when he comes into a situation, his words are gentle. He is able to diffuse a problem. You know what? We're not able to do that just on our own. I was born to be able to be that way. No, I think every one of us can have hot points that can be touched that cause us to say, I got something to say about this situation. I say, Lord, help me. There's a song that we sing that says, Lord, with thy gentleness, I would be great. I want to be a great person. What do I want to do? I want people to really think I'm somebody? Oh, no. Lord, I want them to recognize a gentleness in me. Lord, with thy gentleness, I would be great. Blessed with thy holiness, be this my state. This is what I want to be able to have in my life. In the third chapter of James, it talks about the tongue. It talks about how little a member it is, but how much it can get us in trouble. And this one talks about in the seventh verse of the third chapter, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. When I look at just this verse right here, I can say, boy, that is a terrible situation right there. That's what can happen out in the world. And then it says, seventh verse, every kind of beast, birds, serpents, things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Before I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to make a change in my life, and salvation comes to me, this can be the result that happens in my life. I have no control over what my tongue is doing. But there's some change that can come about. Who is a wise man? 13th verse. And endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And it goes on down in the 17th verse. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. I want to be able to have this be attributes in my life. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. When somebody comes back to me and says, Dan, you didn't do right in that area. Am I? Yes, I did. Gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. It's like a seed gets planted in me of peace. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. And I say, Lord, help me. I want to make peace. I love peace when it's in my life. And it's seen, you know, this morning I went out by myself. I've got a little dock out on my pond. The wind was just blowing just a little bit. It felt so good. And there was quiet all around me. There's nobody to bother me. That's what I call peace. But you know what? Peace, this kind of peace that the Lord wants to give us, could be when I'm in a room with a whole lot of agitation going on, and I'll be able to have peace and be able to let it flow out to other people. So I want to close with a song. I'd like for us to sing it, but I want to look at a verse. Song number 275. Because I want to be able to have these things in my life. Verse number 4 of 275. Keep me gentle. You know, somehow that word keeps on popping up when I'm talking about peace. Keep me gentle. Let no word from my lips be ever heard that shall wound a tender heart, cause a tear of grief to start. All I am or I hope to be, I commit, dear Lord, to Thee. You know what I'm committing to Him? Lord, here's who I am. I want You to make the adjustments in my life that I need to be able to make, to where I can have this peace that passes understanding and it flows out of my life. Oh, preserve me in Thy love till I reach Thy courts above. Lord, keep me gentle. Let no word from my lips be ever heard that shall wound a tender heart. A goal in my life. What does it say? Seek peace and pursue it. I'm after this. I want it in my life. Lord, when You show me this did not cause peace, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to learn from it and be able to be a help to others in the future. How does I